from Ruth 1, chapter, Ruth 1, verse 14 through 22. At this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you on or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, but it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this chance to just gather virtually, Lord, just to hear your word, to pray together, just to come as one body. God, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to meet us each in our homes this morning. God, on our way to work, Lord, wherever we may be in this moment, God, that you'll just reach down and just show us your ways. God and Lord, help us just to see that you are with us, Lord. And I just pray that you, our spirit, will guide this time. In your name we pray, amen. So just a little bit here, background is from last week when I shared on the first part of Ruth 1, we see that, you know, Naomi has told her daughter, you know, Naomi's children have died, her husband have died, they left Bethlehem, which, I mean, in all, pretty much so we know that was not what God wanted, and Naomi tells her daughter-in-law to stay, go back home, that's their only hope, right? And in verse 8, she uses the word kindly and her desire for the way God will work in their lives. This word translates into chesed, which P. Sam has talked about many times, but it's this idea of God pouring out his mercy, right? There's this clear picture of how much Naomi truly loves these two women, right? She desires the best for them, right? And there's no sense of any sort of family strife in this in-law relationship, but one of genuine love, right? None that the scripture shows us but love, right? And I think about, like, you know, that's not typically what happens, right? From what I've experienced with my sisters-in-laws and my brother-in-law, there's always this transitional period of getting to know each other. It was actually funny because this Christmas, when I was home, I went for a walk with one of my sister-in-laws, and we were saying how when we first met our other sister-in-law, we all thought she was going to be this quiet, timid person. There was something about her that made us all have this picture of her. And she ends up being the most opinionated in a lovely, wonderful way. If she ever hears this, I love it. But she just, you know, and it took us all a while to be like, oh, you know, we have this picture of her and we all love her. And I think it's fantastic, but it's like, wow, like I didn't think my brothers would marry women who were more opinionated than me and my sister, but they definitely did. And so it takes a while to get into this groove, but here the scriptures really just points this beautiful relationship or love that Naomi has, that she desires and blesses them with chesed, with this mercy of God for them. And right, and that's really why she wants them to go back home. She wants them to have the best possible life. Right? And so often we think of this book, we focus on Ruth, we focus on Naomi, we focus on Boaz, and obviously we focus on how God's working. But, you know, so if you listen on Tuesday, you know that P. Nate did a portion of this scripture. I was like, this is where I was going because I'm working through the book. And then we were kind of talking and I was kind of picking on him like, oh, you took my verse. He's like, oh, but you can always talk about Orpah. And I was like, oh, you're right. I really can. And there's so much that we can just kind of glean a little bit from Orpah's life here, right? In Orpah's life, actually, just a side note, I was doing some research and I think I've heard it before, but Jewish tradition, though it's not biblical or scripture, so we don't know if it's true, says that Orpah is actually the mother of Goliath and her children, and that after she turned away from Naomi and walked home, she shed three tears, whatever it was, and then that symbolized the number of Goliath and his brothers. And right, and I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the traditional Jewish belief on Orpah. But when you actually just look at scripture, there doesn't seem to be a judgment on her for going home, right? In fact, she's remembered by name that she was one of these daughter-in-laws. And she was obedient to Ruth, I mean, to Naomi. She was obedient to what she told her to do. It wasn't that she didn't love Naomi, she didn't love Ruth, she didn't want to be with them, right? She did what she was told to do. And right, and so that kind of made me start pondering and kind of meditating on that idea, right? And though this is different because the part where I'm going to say talk about it's when God calls us to do something, right? And here it's not necessarily that God called Orpah to go home, right? Scripture doesn't say that, but Naomi told her to go home, right? And sometimes God is calling us, I mean, it could be back home or back to the places where you've come from. It could be back to people that have been, you know, that you haven't spent time with. And God calls us back, right? You know, for many of us in SP and in Hong Kong, we're expats and we have this understanding of thinking about, oh, would I ever go back home? Or, I mean, and you have that duality of like Hong Kong's home, but so is somewhere else. And for some people, it could be multiple places if they've moved a lot, places that connect with them, right? But there's also the flip side that maybe some of you were literally living other places for school, for work, and Hong Kong is home and you've come home right now. And so we have this idea of like, and I just envisioned and I just thought, you know, maybe Orpah brought some of that love back home. And even if she didn't, we can think of it like in our obedience to God, going back to the places we've once come from when he calls us into those places. How do we bring God's love into those places? How do we, you know, especially think of missionaries, right? My brother's a missionary. A lot of my really good friends are missionaries. A lot of people in my home church went on missions and they come back, right? And there's one of the things that they always, not everybody, but I've noticed some people when they come back to their home, right? And I mean, some people would say I'm a missionary. I wouldn't say I'm a vocational missionary. But when you go home, there's that transition period. You don't know how to continue. You may feel lost. Maybe coming back to Hong Kong, you don't know how to minister to your unbelieving family. Right? And some of you, maybe you've been back here for many years. Maybe it's been 10 plus years. Maybe it's only a week or two, or you're getting prompted to go back to, you know, an old friendship or a relationship to bring that message, right? And we kind of get lost. We don't always know what to do because we get so focused into where we've been or where we're coming out of, right? And just really learning to soak in God's presence, to be able to bring whatever we've learned, where we're coming from, to the next place that we're calling to, right? And I just kind of feel like that was, oh yeah, God was kind of speaking that to me though, even though I don't know if Orpah was like that, right? But we see that Naomi loved her so much. There's that tangible idea that maybe Orpah brought that love back with her. God loves us so much. SP loves you so much. You know, these people that are soaking into your lives right now in this season, you know, loving on you, it's also to get you ready to go into wherever God's calling you next, whether it's home or to a new step, a new workplace, or just a new season of your life right where you're at now as well. You know, and then as I kept going and reading, though, I started to look at Ruth. You know, Ruth is the, on the other hand, she does the opposite, right? She chooses to go with Naomi. She chooses to take the hard path, right? She knows what's going to happen is not easy, right? You have two widows, no children, the worst possible scenario in that time for a woman, right? Like how they would be looked at, viewed, they're going to struggle. And yet Ruth chooses to take the harder path in life. She doesn't choose to go back to what's easy or comfortable. Ruth doesn't know at this point that she's going to end up getting married, have children, that she's going to be used by God for eternity, right? Like she's going to be the mother of Jesse, the grandmother of David. She's going to eventually, you know, be in the genealogy, the heritage of Jesus. She doesn't know that when she's making this decision. She just is clinging to Naomi, someone that loves her, right? The things that the world told her gave her value was not what she was working for. You know, women in this time strive to be mothers. They strive to have children. If they didn't have these things, they often struggled, you know, with their identity. And yet she was willing to give up the things the world told her were important. And she clung to a different value. Hardship was not going to be what deterred her from following the way of love. Right? And to be honest, right, if we look at Ruth, the way that she clung to Naomi is not like what many of us would do for our friends today, and even many of our family, right? She like clung to Naomi. She went with Naomi. She promises and makes this this vow that no matter what happens, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be and stay with you, you know? And I mean, obviously it was based on love. It was based on God obviously working and or making this happen, but there was this depth of love that called Ruth out to cling to Naomi, right? Something that, I mean, I think about all my friendships and I would love to say that I'd be willing to do it, but when push comes to shove, I don't know if I would, right? With a friend, would I be able to show that kind of loyalty to somebody to that would take me into great depths of hardship, right? You also see Ruth makes it clear that Naomi's God will be her God. And there's a testimony to Naomi in this. There's something about the way Naomi loves Ruth that makes it easier for Ruth to say, I want to follow your God, right? There's a sense that Naomi made God so real and attractive for Ruth that she was willing to give up her God, her culture, her people, to cling to Naomi's God, right? By going with Naomi, she's rejecting her culture. She's well, not saying that's all of her culture, but she's rejecting where she comes from. She's rejecting the gods of her people, right? She was no longer going to follow them. We don't know if she was still following them at this time or not, but she was saying and declaring, Yahweh is my God, and that is who I will follow, and I will give my life towards that religion, that faith, those people, right? And Naomi needs to be remembered here because there's something about Naomi that draws Ruth to change paths to God. You know, in our life, are we making God so attractive? Is our love for people drawing people into God? You know, really think about that. Like, is our behavior, is our actions, you know, that, you know, our true core being, our spirit, are people drawn to God through us? Not just drawn to us, but to God through us. Is the way we love our neighbors, the way we love the people in our buildings or our colleagues or our children. You know, our children, well, I mean, I don't have any, but our children see everything that we do. They call you out. You know, I think about kids in general. You can't fake it with them. You know, I went home at Christmas, I said earlier, and I was trying to get my nieces and nephews to clean up, and it was a struggle. It's like they know I'm related to them, so they don't have to follow. And I finally said, you know, there's 100 kids in Hong Kong that will do what I'll say. And it's probably not completely true. But in that moment, it's like, why can't you just clean up the house? Like, and they're like, oh, you just don't want to clean up. I'm like, it's not my mess. It's your mess. You know, and kids, they call it out. They see the frustrations. They'll tell you like, oh, you're mad or you're not happy right now or you look tired or, you know, they tell you the truth. Are we loving kids in a way that will draw them to God? And obviously, we're not going to be able to be perfect at doing this all of the time. But, you know, is our life characterized by love, by God's love? You know, and we don't know for sure what Ruth's faith was like before this, but this declaration to follow God happens when Naomi decided to go back to her people, back to the place God had told the Israelites to be. You know, our job is not to try and make God attractive by becoming part of the world, being like the world, reflecting the world's culture and patterns in us, but rather by being who God called us to be, to walk in his ways and to love people the way he showed us to, not the way the world tells us love should be. You know, maybe Ruth did believe in God before, but scripture marks it down in this period when Naomi chooses to return home. You know, and there's that symbolism of Naomi returning to what God had called her to, right? Back into, there's almost a repentance of sorts taking place here. Like, God, I went out of your will by going to Moab. My family was not where we were supposed to be, right? And I'm now going to return. I'm willing to humble myself. You know, most likely she came from some sort of wealth, you know, talks about, you know, that she went out with much. She comes back with like nothing, or whether that, you know, that includes sons that she went out with, maybe money, you know, there's all these maybes, but you have her coming back, willing to go back, right? And in that moment of being that true child of God, we see this declaration by Ruth that she will follow Naomi's God, right? And in our lives, are we often trying to appease people in their ways, or are we trying to follow God? And that's a struggle because, you know, especially with everything going on right now, you know, thinking about from COVID-19 to protests to finances or, you know, personal things that people may be struggling with. You know, it's so easy to look at what the world tells us instead of first seeking God and his will for me personally, or our ministries that we serve in, our church or our workplace. And though it's good to go and seek out what the world is telling us for safety and for, you know, kind of understanding, but is our core, is our root coming from God? That's what's going to start to attract people to God when we do it in a humble way. You know, Naomi didn't go back like, look at me, see who I am. Like, she didn't come out and put on a show, right? But it's that idea of coming back humbly. And are we humbly seeking God in our decisions? And will that, you know, and in our love for people? And I just briefly, you know, if you want to know more about Naomi, listen to Tuesday's message, because P. Nate did a really, really good job talking about Naomi, her meaning, her name, and just her side of this chapter. But I do want us to notice just two things. Actually, just one, is that Naomi is being restored by God through people. God is restoring Naomi's life through Ruth, through Boaz, through this child that Ruth and Boaz will have. You know, and one of the things that and this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite books in the Bible, and it comes down to, you know, where you go, I'll go, your people be my people, your God will be my God. And I think that is really, that verse, I think it's really touched my heart in many ways over, since actually becoming a pastor. I think before, it was right in that transition, God really started, that verse just kind of became kind of my ministry personal verse. But as I get drawn back to this book over and over again, I often like, oh, maybe this book should be called Naomi. I'm not suggesting we change the name, but because we see this restoration of Naomi take place, right? We see that God is working through these different people to bring her back into wholeness. You know, maybe we can also take time to be thankful to God for the people he's used in our life. Or maybe it's not always been pleasant. Maybe there's been struggles, right? Or we don't always like it when we get corrected or disciplined or discipled. But God uses people. God can use you to restore people to him. Obviously, Holy Spirit's working. God is the one doing, you know, the speaking and the moving, but we can be his partners. But there's also people that God has used in our life to bring us and draw us closer to God. Just like, you know, Naomi was used to bring Ruth towards God, and yet God also then uses Ruth and Boaz to bring Naomi back into this restored picture of what God's entire gospel message is about. And so this morning, as we go into a time of worship, I just want us to think about two things. Are we in such a way that we are really reflect, is our love drawing people to God? Who are those people God is calling us to pour out our love on? You know, whether it's here in Hong Kong, back in our home places, back old relationships, in our job place. Who are the people? Ask God to highlight people that he's calling you to pour out love on, to draw. I mean, we should be doing this for everybody, but specifically, who's God highlighting? And also, take a time just to thank God, you know, have God show you pictures of the people who have done this for you, who have walked with you, shown you God's love to draw you closer to him. So let's just go into a time of worship.
Let's turn our eyes on Jesus this morning.
Jesus, you're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Jesus, you're the Lamb of God.
Fix your eyes upon him this morning. Let your heart connect with him this morning. Let your spirit arise. Speak to your soul. Say, oh my soul, we worship the Lord today.
Jesus, you're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. My sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, you're the Lord.
You're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your name.
God, worthy is your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us to you, Lord, that you have shown us your love, God, through people, through your spirit, God, through your son, Lord, and that you continue to send people into our lives to refine us. Lord, help us to see the people you're highlighting in our lives to be more intentional with God, and that we can also remember that everywhere we go, our actions, our love, God, are a demonstration and ultimately of your love that can draw people in to your kingdom into your ways, God. And let us not take that opportunity lightly. God, help us to just continue to be a light in this city, in this time, in this place, God. And Lord, let us continue to be molded like you. Help us to see today one, two, or three people, Lord, that you're calling us to just go and demonstrate love to. Turn to our prayer focus. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer, going through different chemotherapy radiation treatments. And let's just lift them up. Let's lift up the healing. And let's just pray that God's healing hand will be on their life and bringing comfort to their family and friends. Time to pray for those who are sick but also need to meet Jesus as a personal Savior. Pray for those in our community who are suffering from other infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing. Let's pray that even in this time, they will learn, remember just to cling to God. Pray for those in our community who are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and faithfulness to just really be evident in their lives. And let's just pray that they will continue to draw closer to God during this time. prayer. Let's pray for Austin, their leader, as they're guiding their community during this time. Ministry, SP Kids, SPU. Pray for all the teachers. Pray for the plans as we go into starting to think and put together relaunch plans. And let's just pray that God will just continually speak to our kids of all ages, that they will, from a young age, know that God is real and that they will have the encounters and that they will really be able to place their faith and trust in Him. The Well River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's really just lift up and for God's protection, let's just continue, that they can be used in the healing of people in our church. Lift up our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homie, and though Homie's suspended, let's just really pray that these different people, the friends of our church, Lord, that God will really just touch them during the time and take care of them. And let's pray for our teens that they will find creative ways to continue to minister, and that they will be soon will be able to just go out and reach out to our community again. Churches meeting tonight. Pray for East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's really just pray that God will just just draw each of these groups together. Let's just pray for encounters, powerful time of ministering to one another. Bonnie, let's lift up our city. Let's just pray for God's peace to be here. Let's just pray for the end of COVID-19 in Hong Kong and in the world. Let's pray for our people to just see God. May this be a time of revival in this city. And so let's just pray for hearts to be open to God in this time, in this season. God, we thank you that you're a God who restores, God, that you're a God who is actively using people to draw people to you, Lord, that you can use us, Lord, and we ask that we can just be willing vessels to do your will and to follow your plan, to show your love to this world. God, help us today just to be your sons and your daughters, Lord, to put that first in our lives. And God, help us just to remember our obedience isn't out of being afraid of you, but out of this loving response to what you have done, out of holy fear, Lord, and that we can draw close to you. So, Lord, today we just ask that your Spirit will guide us, direct us. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you'll show us your way today, Lord, and just be with us. And so, God, we just lift all this up to you. In your name we pray. Amen.